Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in Friday edition of the Hoosier Report. Where has the week gone? We are headed into the weekend, and of course tonight, the weekend from a basketball perspective gets started with Indiana hosting Michigan. It's a big game. At any point of the year, it would be a big game against Michigan, but for this Indiana team, it's dropped five in a row. If you want to be positive about things with this team, what an opportunity. You're at home. You would think the players are hungry to get this thing turned around. And the opportunity to go against not just another Big Ten opponent, but top five ranked Michigan at home tonight. They played them, I guess, tough is a fair word, on the road after a bad start. They were able to come back, lose by 10 or 11 points. At that time, Michigan was ranked second in the country, tough place to play. Second Big Ten game of the full conference schedule when it restarted after the first of the year. So reason to believe, at least at portions of that game, especially in the second half, that Indiana can keep it competitive and can play with Michigan. And you would like to think that the ability to be at home, the home crowd behind them, and just maybe a little extra drive to let's not lose six in a row, let's turn this thing around, because a win against Michigan, it does that. It signals that Indiana's still a player in the Big Ten Conference. It signals that this team is not out of life, that this team is not dead, and that this team can have the ability, if you could beat Michigan, whether it's home or away, to beat anybody in the conference moving forward this year. So it's a big game. Six in a row, if they do lose tonight, is a tough deal. If you don't win the game, you've got to look for the obvious here. You've got to make you want it to be a close and competitive game, or maybe IU leads down the stretch but loses the game. That would be the only scenario I can see where you could still take some positive momentum out of a six straight loss into a game next week, early next week against Rutgers. So Indiana with their back up against the wall a little bit, they need a win. They need some positive things to happen, and if they can come out tonight and play well and get a win at home against Michigan, maybe this will get them started back in the right direction. We'll have to see. But nonetheless, it is a daunting challenge. Michigan, I have said all along, is very good. I think they are a Final Four type team. Michigan State leading the Big Ten Conference right now. Not Michigan, but still the Wolverines right there at the top of things. They've got some great players sprinkled across a number of different classes. Of course, a great coach, a great coaching staff. We've learned a lot more about Michigan's coaching staff this year, not just Coach Beilein, but some of the assistants as well, what their roles are and why they are so good for that program. But big challenge tonight. We'll have the broadcast on the Big X Sports Radio. The only negative about an IU game on a Friday night, and we've talked about this a lot before with football in the Big Ten Conference, and this season it seems like more basketball, but Friday night's a night for high school sports, and specifically in Indiana in the winter. It's the middle of January. It's late January. It's time for high school basketball and for fans to get out and support their local team or go to the big game tonight or go watch Trace Jackson Davis or another IU recruit like Armon Franklin. Go watch them play tonight. That's what's mind-boggling to me. You can't get one night a week for high school sports to be the front runner, and it all is because of TV money. And now every conference has a television network, things that we're generally happy for. They include more programming and more coverage. And can you remember the days when, you know, not every game was televised and you had to have a local deal and maybe you had it on your cable package and maybe you didn't? You don't run into that much anymore. Maybe once a season, and then it's streaming online. You just got to have a different account. But for all the positive in that, one of the negatives is TV and TV money and advertising money. taking away all of the nights that used to be dedicated for high school sports. Football in the fall, there were a couple conflicts, one with Indiana, but a number of conflicts through the Big Ten Conference. And, of course, now for Indiana, at least the second Friday night game that I can remember, because it keeps us from going out to do a big high school game tonight that we'd like to broadcast here on the radio station. So maybe you could figure out a way to take your phone to stream Don Fisher and his great call of the game tonight and still make it out to a high school game across the area here in Southern Indiana. It's a big weekend for high school basketball. Lots of games, a number of games on the schedule tonight and Saturday night as well. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Joining us today on the program, well, first off, we have our Hoosier headlines in segment one, our news of the day presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. We'll talk a little bit about IU in Michigan. We'll talk Trace Jackson Davis. We'll talk the McDonald's All-American game. Archie Miller had a press conference yesterday before the Michigan game where he has some updates on players. We'll give you those as well. And bad news confirmed, as everyone thought it would be, for Victor Oladipo with a season-ending injury. We'll talk about all that coming up here in just a second. That's in segment one, presented by Hoopster Sports Grill. Later in the show, segment two, Jared Morris of the Assembly Call is with me. Jared and I will break down IU Michigan. We'll take a look at some of the matchups. Obviously, without saying it again, it's a big game for Indiana for a number of reasons, and we'll talk about that with Jared. Jared's segment each week is presented by Coffee Crossing. And later in the program, a little different on this Friday, Jason Delaney, the head coach of Indianapolis Cathedral, he will join us to talk primarily about Armand Franklin and his development this season. He's had some big numbers. He led Cathedral earlier this week to an Indianapolis City Championship in that big tournament, and he has really expanded his game and stepped his game up. He was already a good get for Archie Miller and for the Hoosiers in the 2019 class, and of course his commitment came before Trace Jackson Davis. He was a big get, and now he stepped his game up a lot like we saw Robert Phinisee do in his senior year. Even though his McCutcheon team wasn't as good as maybe when he was a sophomore and they went to the state championship game coming in second place, individually he was able to really step his game up, and we're seeing Armand Franklin do the same thing on Cathedral. So we'll talk with Coach Delaney about what's he doing and how would Armand fit into the current team. And he's shooting the three ball really well, which is something that IU fans I know will want to hear about, because that's been a major problem with this team, at least for a number of games this season. So Jason Delaney, the coach of Armand Franklin, he's with us later in the program, and we've got some high school things to look at, some of the games this weekend as well. That's the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You'll get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Okay, let's look at some Hoosier headlines. A summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill. Big one tonight. Michigan 18-1, 7-1 in Big Ten play. It's a 6:30 p.m. start, which means we've got an early pregame show tonight at 5:30 here on the Big X Sports Radio. Don't forget, we're going to talk some injuries and update some Archie Miller in just a second, but that pregame show with Don Fisher, where he talks with Archie Miller, is a great opportunity to find out the very latest on the lineup, on who's playing and who's not playing, and it's really been musical chairs all season long for this Indiana team with injuries. Not making excuses for this team, but clearly that's one of the issues with this team. You never know, or at least fans never know, and oftentimes the team doesn't know. It's a game-time decision until the game tips off and the game begins, exactly who they're going to have available that night. But Archie Miller does talk a lot about that stuff with Don Fisher in the pregame show, so that'll be on at 5:30 tonight. Tip off at 6:30, Michigan at Indiana. Now, I said Michigan 7-1 in the Big Ten, 18-1 overall. I don't at all want to take anything away, because I love their team, I love their coach, and I've said all along I think they could be a Final Four type team. With that said, Michigan isn't playing as well as what they were when Indiana went to Michigan earlier this month. I say that because, well, they've lost one game in the conference so far, and just a couple nights ago, we talked about this, they were able to beat Minnesota, who's sure not been at the top of the conference so far this season, but it took a last-second shot. The game was tied. Charles Matthews hit a baseline jumper with like 0.2 seconds or 0.1 seconds in replay. The ball left his hand. So they weren't able to roll Minnesota And that's a team that you would think, at least on paper, that Michigan should roll. Some of their scores have been a little closer in the conference games recently than what you might expect. So maybe they're not playing as well as what they have or what they did earlier. They're still a really good team, still a big challenge, but keep that in the back of your mind. We'll see if Indiana can maybe capitalize on this Michigan team not clicking, at least up to now, over the last few games, as well as what they did earlier this season. So clearly tonight, for many, many reasons for Indiana, it's a big game. Other IU notes, Archie Miller yesterday taking the podium for a presser. He said Deron Davis is, quote, shut down right now. That's the words he used, shut down. They've been trying to get him some minutes here and there. What's he been playing, like 2, 3, maybe 4 minutes in some of the recent games? It feels like he's in there for a handful of possessions, maybe a couple trips up and down the floor, and that's it. And then you don't see him again for a long time, or maybe you don't see him again for the rest of the game. And according to Archie Miller, kind of paraphrasing what he said yesterday, they've been trying to save him and get him in here and there in spots where they need him, or spots where there's foul trouble, or spots where they think that he can help the team against a matchup, or whatever the case might be. But with his ankle injury, it's just not working out. So sometime when you're able to only get a couple minutes, that's all you're able to do. You're really not helping the team. Shut him down, get rest, get healthy, try it again here in a week, or a couple more games, or who knows with injuries with this team. They seem to linger on much longer than what you would think. So who knows? But Deron Davis, quote, shut down right now. Another player for Indiana that is had an injury. He's had, what, multiple injuries this season now where he's missed. So he's shut down, will not play tonight. It doesn't sound like against Michigan based on what Coach Miller said yesterday. Also, an update on Race Thompson. Coach Miller saying in the press conference after the Northwestern loss earlier this week that he was cleared to play from the concussion that's kept him out a number of weeks now, really months for this team. And he addressed Race Thompson's situation a little bit yesterday. He said, quote, he isn't close to game shape, end quote, but he has some time to get there, cleared for full contact and practice, and it would sure look like in the coming week or so, and again, this is just my guesstimation, you'll see the IU coaches begin to try to at least work him into the rotation based on his limited physical situation, being out, not being in great shape. I'm sure it's hard, even though you're doing things off the court and different exercises and strength things maybe that you're allowed to do. It's until you get out there and you play the game and you get up and down and you sweat and you have some extended practices and work hard, it's hard to get anywhere close to game shape. And even when you do those things, it can take time to get ready to play meaningful minutes in a Big Ten level game. So we'll see if they start to slowly work him in. Doesn't sound like that's going to happen tonight against Michigan, but maybe next week or maybe beyond that a little bit, we'll see Race Thompson finally begin to get some minutes for this team. And you would think that they're at least going to give him a chance to work his way into the lineup, given some of the struggles that other players have had, and see maybe if he can fill a void that exists for this team. But Race Thompson, it looks like finally beginning to come out of that concussion protocol slowly but surely for this team. Bad news for the Indiana Pacers and for IU fans and for all that love Victor Oladipo, and I really don't know anyone that doesn't appreciate and like Victor Oladipo's game and also what he brings to the Pacers and really the state off the court as well. But MRI results yesterday for Oladipo's injury the other night, it's a suffered, a ruptured quad tendon, which is pretty serious, really serious, will require surgery, and the Pacers have already ruled him out for the season as well. So a tough break for Victor Oladipo. He's been playing so well. Really, since he arrived with the Pacers have been playing a lot better. They're a different team. They have hopes of the playoffs and hopes of doing some things that they haven't done for a while, and obviously a major setback, but let's all hope that Vic gets healthy and is able to return sooner rather than later, but it sure doesn't look like he will be back at all this season for the Pacers. McDonald's All-American Game rosters were officially announced yesterday. The only player from the state of Indiana and the only IU recruit in the 2019 class that's in the fold right now that it will be in that game is Trace Jackson Davis, the 6'9" forward from Center Grove High School. He will be on the East team in the McDonald's All-American game, which will again be held in Atlanta. Of course, a lot of us were there last year when Romeo was a part of that game. It's a fun couple days for the kids and for the fans as well. That game will be played on March 27th. Jackson Davis is also the only current recruit signed with a Big Ten program that is in this year's game. So that's another impressive feat for his team. But it's a game that if you look down through the rosters, and I'm not going to read them all to you, but it's a game that includes a lot of familiar names. If you've tracked the recruiting rankings in the 2019 class, much like last year with Romeo and all of those guys, the other probably most familiar names to IU fans in the game would be Isaiah Stewart. He's playing up at La Lemire in Indiana and recently committed to Washington. Indiana was in his final six or five, but never really a serious contender, it didn't seem. He's in the game. Also Trendon Watford, who remains undecided. I guess you could say IU remains in the picture for him, but it's not really a serious feeling at this point in his recruitment that you get from Mountain Brook, Alabama. He is on that East team as well with Trace Jackson Davis. And probably the other name that you would remember or know the best is Matthew Hurt from up in Minnesota. He's still undecided. Indiana has continued to recruit him. Trey Mann, also another name that Indiana had recruited at one point. He committed back some time ago to Florida. So a number of players in the game that would be familiar, but Trace Jackson Davis is the only guy with an IU or really a Big Ten connection in the game at this point this season. Biggest snubs, I was reading a story from Rivals.com earlier this morning. Keon Brooks did not make the game. He's had a terrific winter with his La Lemire team. He's had a great high school career. Now that he's with La Lemire, instead of just playing big games in the state of Indiana, they play big games on a national level, and he's done really well. He's led his team in scoring a lot of the games. I don't know exactly what his average is for the season, but I know he had 25 points at that Hoops Hall Classic last week in a game that was on ESPN. So a little bit of a surprise he didn't make the game, and it looks like that's the feeling of a lot of people that track this stuff a lot closer than I do, that people are surprised Keon Brooks did not make the McDonald's All-American game. In fact, he's the first player listed as a snub for this 2019 version of the McDonald's All-American game. And I saw this tweet talking about the McDonald's game and who made it and who didn't make it. Every year there's disappointments. There's been a number of players over the years from Indiana that you think are close to making it or maybe that should make it that don't make it, although our state has been pretty well represented in that game if you go back and look at things. But Alex Bozich tweeted this yesterday. On a day in which the McDonald's All-America teams were announced, a reminder that rankings and accolades coming into college mean nothing. If you are good enough, the NBA will find you. And here is Alex's example. Pat Forty, this is Alex retweeting Pat Forty. Pat Forty said, among the NBA people joining me courtside for the Belmont-Murray State game. Now, that's an Ohio Valley Conference mid-major game. Now, that's two really good mid-major programs, but we're talking Belmont from Tennessee, Murray State from West Kentucky. Danny Ainge, someone from the Lakers, Buzz Peterson, a number of players there to see both Ja Morant from Murray State, who's really moved up the draft board. If you've been following Romeo on that, you've seen Morant's name here higher more recently. And then Dylan Windler of Belmont, who is from Perry Meridian on the south side of Indianapolis. He's got a lot of athletic bounce and explosion to him, and he's getting looked at very seriously by a lot of NBA teams. So good point from Alex that no matter what level of basketball you play, no matter what you're ranked in the senior class or if you make the McDonald's game or not, NBA is going to find the best players in the world, not just here in the States or in the Midwest or in Indiana or overseas or wherever. They're going to find the best players in the world. So no question about it that a snub for Keon Brooks, really not that big a deal, to be quite honest with you. Also, I wanted to mention Trace Jackson Davis is the 31st all-time McDonald's All-American for the IU program. Tom Baker, Ray Tolbert, Landon Turner, Isaiah Thomas, John Flowers, Daryl Thomas, Delray Brooks, Ricky Callaway, Jay Edwards, Eric Anderson, Greg Graham, Pat Graham, Damon Bailey, Alan Henderson, Sharon Wilkerson, Andre Patterson, Neil Reed, Jason Collier, Luke Recker, Dane Fife, Jared Jeffries, Bracey Wright, DJ White, Eric Gordon, Cody Zeller, Yogi Ferrell, Noah Vonleh, James Blackman Jr., Thomas Bryant, and of course Romeo Langford last season. Trace Jackson Davis makes the list this year at number 31. That's a look at the headlines for this Friday edition of the program. Stay with us. In the next segment, we'll preview IU and Michigan with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, presented by Coffee Crossing. A Friday edition of the show continues after this brief commercial break.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Friday show. Jared Morris of the Assembly Call with us. And, of course, tonight after the IU-Michigan game, maybe as you're on your way home from a high school basketball game here in the area, make sure you tune in. The Assembly Call IU postgame show, we'll have it right here on the Big X Sports Radio. Our segment with Jared each week is presented by Coffee Crossing. And don't forget, when you're looking for great coffee in downtown New Albany, they have a sister company. It's 410 Bakery and Cafe, offering great coffee, great bread, great pastries as well, and now serving breakfast and lunch at 410 Bakery and Cafe in downtown New Albany. Jared, thanks for hanging with us. You have a gut feeling, you tweeted out earlier, that IU will win tonight. Tell me about this gut feeling you have, sir.
Yeah, I do. I should preface this by saying that my game prediction gut feelings have not been going very well recently. So that's, you know, when you're on a 5-game losing streak and you know, you're known as an optimist who tries to find the reasons why the team will win, you're going to run into a bad streak with your picks when the team is going poorly. But really, you know, I was actually talking with a Michigan writer who covers Michigan recently. And he said that he thinks Indiana's going to win this game. And his reasoning made sense to me, which is that, you know, Indiana is absolutely desperate, or at least they should be. You know, there needs to be a real desperation about Indiana's play, you know, losing 5 in a row, digging such a big hole in the Big Ten, and just, you know, a desire to take advantage of the opportunity that tonight presents, which is, you know, to end this losing streak in an emphatic way and to get, you know, what would be Archie's first real signature win. You know, another resume anchoring win. I mean, there's so many reasons for Indiana to just be salivating and insatiably hungry to get this victory. And if they have that and you combine that with an Assembly Hall that, you know, I know is probably going to be a little pensive, you know, with 5 straight losses, but I'm sure is just going to be ready to pounce if this team gets off to a good start and shows the type of effort and hunger that we've all been wanting. You know, it's tough to beat Indiana when you have that combination. And you've got a Michigan team that, you know, they're 18-1. They're obviously very, very, very good, one of the best teams in the country. But, you know, as some, you know, even really good teams do, you know, they're struggling a little bit. They've lost, you know, 1 out of their last 2, their first loss of the season. But they didn't play particularly well against Minnesota. So we might be catching them at the right time. So, you know, a lot of it hinges on what Indiana shows up tonight and if the Hoosiers can play with desperation for 40 minutes. But I have a hard time believing that they won't play like that with how much is at stake tonight. So, you know, look, I thought that from the Nebraska game, so I've been burned before. But, you know, to me, you add all those things up, I think this is a game that Indiana can win. And I think Indiana will win. Now, obviously, they've got to go out and do it. Hopefully they do.
You mentioned this, and I said something about it earlier in the show, but they lost to Wisconsin earlier in the week, or actually last week, 64-54, and that game was at Madison, Wisconsin. Then on Tuesday night of this week, it took like a 0.1-second release from Charles Matthews to beat Minnesota 59-57, and that game was at home. So when you talk about Michigan, as good as they've been and as good as they are in the conference this year, maybe there's something to that about them not playing as good as what they were back in early January when IU lost 74-63 at Ann Arbor or in the non-conference season as well. So maybe there is something about catching them at the right time, IU in desperation mode, willing to do whatever it takes, put whatever energy, whatever effort out there it takes to get a victory tonight and to be competitive in this game. Maybe it is the perfect storm that we can look back on later this evening and say, wow, Indiana beat Michigan.
Well, you know, the logic there is ironic because I agree with you, and that's obviously what I just spelled out. But, you know, if you're Michigan, you're probably looking at it like, well, shoot, Indiana's lost five straight, and they can't seem to string together, you know, 20 good minutes, let alone 40. So maybe we're catching them at the right time. So, you know, we kind of look at it through our own glasses, but from a different perspective, it would probably look different. But, you know, look, when you're on a five-game losing streak and you're just kind of desperate to get the season back on something resembling a positive track, you know, we're able to talk ourselves into pretty much whatever we want. But, you know, I just think, you know, sometimes when you look at the Big Ten, it feels like some upsets are kind of predictable. And this just seems like one of those ones that, yeah, it would be an upset, but it wouldn't be a shock, you know? And so I just, we'll see. You know, the other thing, you know, you can talk about desperation. You can talk about all those things. And I think Indiana does have to bring just a baseline level of just fight and grit and all that stuff. But they're also going to have to change some of the things that they were doing. You know, the Twitter account HoopsVision68 tweeted out, Jordan Sperber sent out a great tweet with a video that showed how Michigan just decimated us in ball screens in that first game. And one of the primary culprits was Juwan Morgan, who really did not execute Indiana's hedging strategy very well at all. And so, you know, does Archie change that? Do we try to switch more ball screens? Do we play a little bit more conservative of a coverage? That's going to be really interesting to watch. And then from an offensive standpoint, you know, we saw Indiana throw a few more wrinkles in there in the second half against Northwestern when things started to, you know, to go better. Do we see more of those? You know, do we get a good shooting night from Rob Phinisee or Al Durham or both that can help space the floor for Romeo and Juwan? You know, do you have a guy come off the bench that gives you a spark, which a lot of times when you're able to pull off an upset at home, it's because, you know, a role player or two exceeded their expectations. You know, the crowd gets behind them and all that. So a lot is going to have to go right for Indiana besides just playing hard. But I think, you know, that to me is the first thing to look at simply because we haven't been able to count on a baseline of just that, you know, kind of fight and toughness and effort and all those things. So if that's there and if, you know, they can adjust to some of the things that Michigan killed them on early in that game, then I think Indiana will have a good chance.
Jared Morris of the Assembly Call is our guest. This segment is presented by Coffee Crossing. Let's take a look a little bit as we drill down at maybe some of the matchups tonight or some of the things about Michigan that when they are playing at their best concern you against IU tonight. And, of course, I want to start with the fact that in that first game, and I want to make sure I'm correct here, so correct me if I'm wrong, but that was the beginning of Rob Phinisee's absence, or maybe the middle of Rob Phinisee's absence when he had a concussion.
Yes. Yeah, he did not play that game. So you got a lot of minutes out of Devontae Green. He and Al Durham combined for 15 points, you know, didn't make a huge impact on the game. And, you know, look, Michigan has a lot of talented wings, you know, Iggy Brazdeikis, Charles Matthews, Jordan Poole, and obviously Indiana's going to have to contain those guys. But the two things that concern me the most, and look, this is why Michigan's good, because, you know, all their starters concern you. But the two that concern me the most are Xavier Simpson and John Teske. You know, Simpson, because he's such an experienced player, such a savvy player, you know, always has been an elite defender, but now has become a more productive offensive player. That's a big matchup, you know, for a guy like Rob Phinisee, who's still a freshman, that he doesn't necessarily need to outplay Xavier Simpson, but he probably needs to have a game where he, you know, battles him to a draw, you know, keeps him out of the lane, you know, doesn't let Simpson just completely take him out of what he wants to do offensively. So that's a really big matchup for Al. And then the other one that you look at is John Teske, who, you know, based on some metrics and some people that you talk to, has been Michigan's best player since Big Ten play started. You know, certainly one of their most productive players. And he's a big challenge for Juwan Morgan because he's a big guy. He's a tall guy. He can step out. He can play inside. And Juwan, as we remember from that first game, cannot get in early foul trouble. You know, when he and Romeo went out, that's when, you know, Michigan really took advantage of Indiana. And so Indiana's going to have to be able to defend him without fouling. And he presents a challenge for Juwan on the other end. You know, Juwan had 25 points, I think, in the first game, but it took him 22 shots to do it. So, you know, I think Juwan is going to have to be able to play more minutes and be more efficient than he was in the road game. You know, and again, you know, even with those two matchups, you've still got three really, really talented, probably NBA-level wings out there in Poole, Brazdeikis, and Charles Matthews that you're going to have to deal with. So they have incredible balance, and that means that, you know, Indiana is not going to be able to survive having three of its five starters show up, or, you know, four of its five. I mean, everyone is going to have to really play well, play solid, play connected. And again, you know, you do that, you give yourself a chance, and then hopefully that raucous home crowd kind of helps put you over the edge.
Talking with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, getting ready for IU Michigan tonight. It is a 6:30 p.m. tip-off. Pre-game coverage begins at 5:30 here on the Big X Sports Radio. What do you make of the Devontae Green situation? I know it's hard to talk about or speculate about something that we really don't know for sure what the exact situation is, but I guess let me rephrase my question. What do you make of him not being available in the lineup if that continues? How does Indiana replace him? Some people, you know, have been down on him. Others think he's great. Where do you stand in the Devontae Green situation?
Well, you know, obviously it's disappointing anytime you see something like that happen. And I don't know what the deal was and kind of what the nature of it is, so it's hard to, you know, to comment on that part of it. But in terms of for the team on the court, I think the obvious negative is it really limits our backcourt depth. So we have zero margin for error for any of our ball handlers either getting hurt or getting in foul trouble. So, you know, that's Rob, Romeo, and Al. I mean, outside of those guys, you don't really have anybody that you trust as a ball handler. So, you know, as much as I would like to see us really improve our ball pressure and get back to getting steals and getting turnovers, those guys have to be careful too, because they all are going to have to play 33 to 35 minutes, and you just can't afford for them to be getting in any kind of foul trouble. So it reduces your margin for error there. The one place where I think, I don't want to say it's a positive, but, you know, anytime something like this happens, it opens up opportunities for other guys. And the one guy who has really opened my eyes over the last few games is Al Durham. And I think, you know, he's always been a guy with a lot of ability offensively, and he's improved his outside shot. He's always been pretty good at getting to the basket. You know, he's got a creative mid-range game, but he has seemed to be a guy who has struggled with confidence and has struggled to assert himself in games against bigger and kind of tougher and more athletic competition. And I've seen that change a little bit. You know, he seems a little bit more comfortable, a little bit more assertive, and I think we saw that in the Northwestern game. And so I think, you know, with more minutes, you know, certainly with the knowledge that, you know, I mean, he's going to be out there, he's going to play 30 plus minutes, and, you know, that we need other guys to help open up the offense for our two stars, you know, I think he might be a guy who can take advantage of that. And I think, you know, based on what he's been able to do offensively from an efficiency standpoint, I think the ball being in his hands and more opportunities for him that had been going to Devontae will improve the offensive efficiency. So I think the team overall will benefit, you know, from getting Devontae back, because it always helps to have depth. But I think right now, for a guy like Al Durham, who seems to me ready to break out, the additional opportunity in minutes could really be something that kind of helps hasten that.
Jared Morris, Assembly Call, our guest. What do you make of Deron Davis? Final question. What do you make of Deron Davis being out? I guess we saw him sparingly over the last number of games, and was there a game maybe within, I don't know, the last couple games where he warmed up but was kind of a game-time decision not to play, it seems, and so now the staff is going to just give him a complete break and try to get him healthy, I guess, so he can make a run maybe at the back end of the season. I don't know how long he'll be out.
Yeah, I give Deron a lot of credit for really, it seems like, trying to battle as much as he can to get on the court. And we've all seen it with our own eyes. Like, when he gets on the court, he just can't move very well. You know, so this is not, you know, a guy who isn't tough enough, can't play through pain. Like, he's just not right physically. And I think, you know, Archie even said, you know, they've been trying to get him out there, play him a few minutes here or there, but it's just not working. And at this point, it seems like it does make more sense. Just shut him down, maybe with a few weeks off. You know, you can rest him up and get something out of him for the end of the season, you know, or from a bigger picture standpoint, you know, anytime you're trying to play through an injury, you know, you're at risk of compensating for that injury and maybe injuring yourself in other ways. You know, and right now I don't think it's as much the Achilles as it is the ankle that he hurt, you know, several games ago, whenever that was. So it's disappointing, because I think Deron can be such an impactful player for this team as someone who can create offense when Juwan's off the court, and someone who can absorb, you know, some defensive battles down low so that Juwan doesn't have to. So, I think we miss him a lot, but I think at this point, you know, based on what he's been able to give lately, it's the right decision for the team and the right decision for him long term to just give him a chance to fully get healthy.
Jared Morris, Assembly Call, presented by Coffee Crossing. Jared, big one tonight. We'll look forward to the IU postgame show that's produced by the Assembly Call crew when it's all said and done. And as always, thanks for taking a few minutes out on your Friday to join us.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Let's go get a win tonight.
Absolutely, Jared Morris, our guest. Don't forget, when you're looking for coffee and you're in downtown New Albany, Coffee Crossing has a sister company down there. It's 410 Bakery and Cafe. They've got great coffee, great bread, pastries too, now serving breakfast and lunch at 410 Bakery and Cafe. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, Jason Delaney, he's the head coach at Indianapolis Cathedral. He's joined us multiple times on this program. He's just a great resource, not only for Armand Franklin, who's one of his players, but he's very involved in the summer as well. And we'll talk with him next, primarily about Armand Franklin and his development as an IU recruit. He had a big week this week, leading Cathedral to the Indianapolis City Championship. And we'll talk about all of that and more next, right here on a Friday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back on this Friday edition of the program, and we've had this guest on before, Jason Delaney. He's head coach at Indianapolis Cathedral, and he's been kind enough to join us to talk not only about Armand Franklin during his recruitment and, of course, commitment and signing with Indiana, but to just generally about high school basketball. He's very involved in the summer as well, had the opportunity to coach Keon Brooks, Trace Jackson Davis, and others, and so a great voice to have with us. And Coach Delaney, before we even get into Armand and some of the other topics I want to bring up with you, congratulations, your Cathedral team, 14-3 on the season, and more recently this week, you were winners of the big Indianapolis City Tournament, which Cathedral has now dominated for a number of years. So things going well, not only with Armand Franklin, but with your club as well.
Well, thank you, Matt. It's great to talk to you again, and I appreciate, as always, you having me on to talk high school basketball.
Absolutely. Let's talk about Armand Franklin. As I am out and about, people always say, how is the kid at Cathedral doing that's going to IU? And let's tell people, 29 points in the city championship game on 9 of 11 shooting, 6 of 8 from three land, 11 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 steals, and you tweeted out earlier today that he also guarded the other team's leading scorer, who was averaging 17 points or more per game, held him to just 5 points. Does it all on both ends of the floor, does Armand Franklin. He has really stepped his game up to another level here in this senior season.
He has. I mean, you see the work that he's put in, and you see how efficient he is. You know, 9 of 11, 6 of 8 from 3, and that's kind of the percentages that he's shooting. It's never 4 shots. It's always within the flow of the offense. And what he does, you know, he took over in that first half the other night of the city championship game. And one of the crazy stats was in the third quarter, we go on an 18-0 run, and he didn't score a point in that third quarter. So what he does is gives that belief to his teammates. He makes the guys around him better. And we have a veteran group. And, he didn't score a point in that third quarter, but he's all smiles, cheering, and excited. And then you look at his final stat line, and it's an amazing stat line, especially when you look at what he did on the defensive end of the floor as well.
Coach, let's go back to when he committed to Indiana. Of course, since that point, Trace Jackson Davis has also announced that he will join Armand in the 2019 class, and a lot of IU fans are hopeful that Keon Brooks potentially could be the next addition to that recruiting class. But as soon as a kid commits, everybody wants to know, do you think he can play at IU right away? And is his body ready for the Big Ten Conference? And, you know, can he play at that level? And obviously, the IU coaches and you as his high school coach, and really anybody that's followed Armand Franklin, knows he's got lots of capabilities to play the game in college at a high level. But it sure seems to me, and others that have seen him more often this high school season than I have, that he's really worked on his body and that he's really worked on his game to make sure he's ready to have the opportunity to contribute right away as a freshman. Definitely some things with him that have increased and that he's worked on, that he's bettered to get ready for not only his senior year in this final stretch of high school basketball, but of course his debut in Bloomington. Can you talk about what he's doing to get college ready?
Sure. And as his high school coach, that's my job. My job is to get guys that are going to go to play college and to get them ready to go in and contribute right away. And I think we've done that over the years with the likes of like Trey Lyles and C.J. Walker and Jerron Coleman at Ball State. They decided to redshirt him because of the veterans they had back. But he was doing really well in the exhibition games and everything. And we've had some other guys go on to college and contribute right away. And as our job, that's to get them ready. And that's what I told the IU staff when he committed, was we're going to do everything we can do to have him come in and contribute right away. And so, you know, Armand is just a great kid, an outstanding work ethic. And so he does a lot of, you know, working out on his own. But what you have, too, is our strength and conditioning coach, Cody Johnson, who has worked with Armand to work on nutrition and also to work on, you know, the weightlifting aspect of it. And Armand buys into that fully, and you can see that in his body, and you start to see, you know, him absorb some contact and to do different things. But the range of his shot has really improved this year. I mean, he's not standing at the high school three-point line shooting. He's a couple steps back. He's shown that in some games this year, the other night in the city championship. Also, when we played Zionsville at Southport, you saw his range in a few of those games. And you know, it's just him getting ready, and I think he's going to make an impact on the defensive end as well next year, and you see that he has that willingness to do so. And you don't see that with high school players all the time. And sometimes you see guys commit early, and you see kind of a drop-off in their play. You know, they're kind of looking forward to that next year. We haven't had that with Armand whatsoever. You know, he wants to win, and he's having fun with his teammates, and he's such a great teammate as well. And he stays so humble. You don't see, you know, that you don't have the star and then the rest of the guys. You have him blending in with the rest of the guys and really looking to help others.
Jason Delaney, he's the head coach at Indianapolis Cathedral, the coach of Armand Franklin, who's a member of IU's 2019 recruiting class. Rob Phinisee came in. A lot of people weren't sure, I think, out of the gate what he would do in his freshman year. Everyone was more excited about him being a potential four-year player and being someone that could really kind of orchestrate Archie Miller's offense and really get it instilled and installed over the years. He came to be much more important this season right out of the gate, partially maybe because of some injuries, but also partially because, just like Armand Franklin did, he worked on his body, he worked on his game, he took things over his senior year and that summer heading into college, was able to use those opportunities to take his game to another level and be ready to go really right out of the gate for this IU team. Do you think that looking at Rob Phinisee as a coach like you are and as a IU recruit like Armand Franklin is that kind of a good example to follow if you're a high school senior and you want to make sure you're ready to go and raring to go when you get to Bloomington this summer?
Oh, no doubt. I coached against Rob two times when I was at Tech. And, you know, the biggest compliment to him was the 2 years that we played against him, C.J. Walker's junior and senior year. C.J., which they'll be going against head-to-head next year when C.J. can play at Ohio State, is in that time, he said Rob Phinisee was the best point guard we went against. And we went against some major point guards during that time. And I thought that was a huge compliment to Rob. And you see it now. You know, Rob, when he was out, you know, missing him, you look at his body. I mean, he's strong. He can score. He can control an offense. And I think he's a great example for Armand to look at. And I know those guys talk a whole bunch and have really developed a friendship off the court. And one of the major reasons that he decided to go there was that Romeo and Rob reaching out to Armand and developing a friendship where it wasn't just about basketball. And so, you know, Armand, that's what we're trying to do. Even after the basketball season, it's continuing to prepare him to go into IU and contribute right away when he steps in June after the All-Star Games, knowing that it's a job and how hard you work is going to determine where you go with that. You know, and I think you see that at all levels. I've used now our freshman point guard, Tayshaun Comer, about how he came in and being ready. And that's what guys need to do, whatever level you're going to go to, is come in prepared and ready to go.
Jason Delaney, head coach at Indianapolis Cathedral. We're talking about Armon Franklin today. Mr. Basketball Race, I guess it's a good thing for IU fans in the state. Trace Jackson Davis is up there. As I think a lot of people see him as the front-running candidate. But sure, look at the numbers that we just spoke about with Armon Franklin, what he's done on both ends of the floor. When it comes to the Mr. Basketball Race, Trace Jackson Davis, Armon Franklin, both of those guys right there at the top in some order, I would think, when it's all said and done, as one and two.
Both outstanding kids, you know, coaching Trace in the summer and still, you know, talking to him from time to time because, you know, we both got busy schedules. He's a great kid and he's a great player and going to continue to get better and be a great player. But as the high school coach, I've got to push for our guy, and that's Armon. And, you know, when you look at all around, he's averaging close to 24 points a game, over 7 rebounds a game at a guard position. He can pass the ball. He's shooting 40% from three-point lane range right now. I mean, and can guard the best player on the other end of the floor. You know, to me, part of Mr. Basketball is being the best well-rounded player that you can be. And when I look at Armon, I see him as that best all-around player. And so that's what, you know, we kind of push. You've got to find those angles with your guy that you're backing and pushing for. And Armon definitely does it all, and you know, he's a piece of our puzzle, just like all the other guys, but he makes guys around him better, and that's why we're 14-3 right now against a top, you know, 5 schedule in the state of Indiana, and just continuing to do great things.
Jason Delaney of Indianapolis Cathedral, our guest. Coach, you're such a versatile guest because you not only coach at Cathedral during the winter and, of course, the summer too, but also you're involved with the Indy Heat program, which has had the opportunity to play in the EYBL. So we get you in those months as well to get some summer recruiting updates. Keon Brooks, another player you're familiar with, a little bit of a snub from the McDonald's game, and it's not just people in the state of Indiana that are saying that, but a lot of the national writers as well. When they talk about players that likely were deserving for that honor, like Trace Jackson Davis did get, that's the one of the first names that people are mentioning, not just here but across the country. Keon Brooks, really an unfortunate miss in that game.
It is, especially with the spring and summer he put together. You know, he goes, the EYBL had 13 players on that McDonald's All-American list, and we faced about every one of them. And for him to be, you know, the MVP of the session here in Indianapolis, and then to be in that final 5 of MVP race, and unfortunately, you know, he got hurt, he definitely showed that he is deserving and should have been on that roster. And I feel really bad for him because I know how hard he works. What a great kid he is, and his family is outstanding as well. I mean, working with them was you know, really a highlight of the summer because they were so good to me. And to see him not get that nod, and especially what he's doing now, you know, even on a huge stage, you feel bad for him because, you know, he's so deserving of that and should have been on that. And definitely one of the snubs, but that's going to happen. You know, part of life is disappointment. And what he can use that now is fuel. And, you know, Keon's got so many great things ahead of him. And now you just continue to work harder and you know, good things are going to come to you. But, you know, I've had a kid, Trey Lyles, be a McDonald's All-American. And, you know, a lot of that stuff is just other people's opinion of things.
Absolutely. Jason Delaney, head coach at Indianapolis Cathedral. Again, his team is 14-3. They are the Indianapolis City Champions. And before you know it, coming up here in just a few weeks, they'll be competing in the 4A state tournament when things get underway with Armon Franklin and crew. Coach, as always, great to catch up. You've been a great voice for folks here in Southern Indiana on some happenings with Armon and other players you're familiar with, and I know we'll continue to have you on from time to time. I do want to take a moment to wish you and your team the very best the rest of the way and in the state tournament, of course.
Well, I really appreciate that and always having me on. And I would encourage IU fans, if you want to get an up-close look at Armon and, you know, our team, and we've got some young, talented guys as well and other seniors who are just great kids who are going to go on and play other places, come out and check out a game before our season's over. We play at Bankers Life tomorrow night at 6 p.m. against Culver Academy, which defending 3A state champions, and has Trey Galloway on that team, who is a big-time recruit, and Ethan Watts, who I coached on the UIBL. So I encourage him, you know, get out and watch Armand. Come out and support him and start to show him some of that love that he'll see next fall down in Bloomington.
Absolutely. Jason Delaney of Indianapolis Cathedral. Coach, thanks. Best of luck.
Thank you very much.
That's going to wrap things up for this Friday edition of the Hoosier Report. Don't forget IU tonight at 6:30. We'll have the pregame show at 5:30 here on the Big X Sports Radio, and Assembly Call IU postgame when the game concludes later tonight. I'll be back with you Monday. We'll talk about all of it right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.